Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
The beef's coming back.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Asian countries like Japan and South Korea used to eat a lot of U.S. meat until the mad cow thing scared them away. But last month, Japan resumed beef imports after a long ban, and today South Korea said it's close to doing the same thing. A team of South Korean inspectors has been in the states checking things out. Even though a lot of Asia's economies are growing at almost breakneck speed, those countries aren't creating that many jobs. More than 600 million people in Asia still live on less than a dollar a day. Miranda Kennedy tells us about a new report from the International Labor Organization.
Economic growth in China and India has drastically reduced the number of people who live on a dollar a day. But it hasn't happened fast enough, says the ILO. Asia is still home to 75% of the world's poor. That's partly because the region's population is growing faster than its economy. Sukhti Dasgupta with the ILO says Asia needs to create more jobs and better paid ones.
The main route out of poverty is productive employment generation. Because the problem in Asia is not only that of unemployment, but the main problem is that of underemployment or the working poor.
So the problem isn't just the quantity of jobs, it's also the quality of jobs in Asia. That means ensuring that people are compensated fairly for their long hours of labor. The ILO says Asia has to create 250 million well-paid jobs over the next decade if it's going to lift itself out of poverty. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
The U.S. markets are closed today, of course, but they're trading in other countries. Japan's Nikkei surged 1.33%. Canon and Toyota stocks were among the gainers. European shares were heading higher as well. Oil prices inched up, but they're still under $70 a barrel. Today's a big travel day for a lot of folks. What's interesting this Labor Day is how people are getting around. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
Hitting the road is just what 35 million Americans are doing this weekend. The AAA's Mike Pina co-authored the report. He says tighter restrictions at airports have a lot of people opting for the road trip.
A lot of Americans saw publicity regarding the gels and the lotions and the long lines and so on. And I think many of them may have decided that they would rather drive this weekend.
About 85% of this weekend's travelers are going by car. The kinder, gentler gas prices haven't hurt either. Pina predicts that if gas prices continue to fall, Americans will come out en masse this time next year.
If gas prices continue to slide next Labor Day, it could be a big boom for the travel and tourism industry.
In Los Angeles and working this Labor Day, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
MySpace has become a great place for bands to promote their music. Now MySpace is going to let them sell music online. Musicians can set the price of their tunes, and MySpace will collect a distribution fee. Who needs a record deal anymore? You're listening to Marketplace. It's Labor Day, so we just have to have a job, Files.
I'm David Brown, and I'm a milkman. Years ago, my grandfather used to be a milkman. He used to tell me the stories of how hot it was. He'd be carrying milk up the hill in snow. And then when I had a chance to get into this business, when I'd be out driving the truck, trying to get up those tough hills in the wintertime, I used to think back to my grandfather and how he used to have to walk up those hills. I guess I would work anywhere between 8 to 10 hours on a normal business day. I do feel a connection with milkmen of the past. I can't imagine how they got around and did what they did. And to think that I'm driving over these same streets that they were riding horse and buggy on. So you wonder, geez, over the years, who has crossed these paths? How many different milkmen?
Job Files were produced by Judith Ritter. The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting communities through grant-making, volunteers, employee giving, and creative partnerships. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Have you been laboring to pay for more house than you can afford? Back in the good old days of lower interest rates and cheaper credit, a lot of Americans bought bigger, more expensive homes than they needed. Actually, this supersizing has been going on for a long time. But with housing conditions changing, sounds like people are starting to downsize. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon.
The number of people in the average American household has been going down, but we've kept right on demanding bigger and bigger and bigger homes. From an average of around 1,400 square feet just a generation ago to nearly 2,600 square feet by the latest estimates, lately, though, some in the housing industry hear homebuyers whistling a different tune. David Siders is chief economist for the National Association of Home Builders.
The big run-up in average size of new homes has pretty much run its course.
Siders has noticed the decades-long climb in home sizes tapering off in recent years, especially now with prices and interest rates rising. Connecticut architect Duo Dickinson says it's about time.
I think people will naturally trend towards the right sizing of homes once they see the really non-aesthetic, purely economic and functional realities of houses that are just too big and often very poorly built.
Dickinson laments what he calls the mindless expansion of the American home. He says some who've bought big homes are finding themselves saddled with high maintenance costs from the flimsy construction that made those bigger homes affordable. There are other reasons to get out from under a home that's bigger than you need. Kim Pouncey downsized to a place outside Tacoma, Washington. She used the proceeds to help finance her business designing websites. She doesn't miss the bigger home and possessions she left behind.
Giving up those things for, like, a goal, which for me, my goal was to have my own business and run my own life and have that freedom, that was a much better trade-off. But still, I rather go that way than keeping the things. I would do it again in a second.
Some experts argue this downsizing thing is just a minor trend, a niche market. John McElwain, who works for the Urban Land Institute, agrees it's not for everybody.
For us, we're in our early 60s. It makes complete sense for us, both from the point of view of taking some pressure off our budget, getting rid of some things we didn't need, having an easier way of living, coming and going. I think people who are younger, they still have the kids around. No, I don't think that makes sense.
McElwain says homeowners of any age group would do well to reassess their true needs, given energy costs and other rising expenses. Still, most housing industry executives say Americans have gotten used to having bigger homes. National Association of Home Builders economist David Siders says it would take something drastic to change that.
I don't really see or expect to see a broad-based trend toward downsizing at all. And in terms of what people spend on housing, it'll probably continue to go up.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
You know, you can take Marketplace wherever you go. We're podcasting now. Check it out at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
It's 27 feet long.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.